Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's HAYES. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. What do you make of the reaction here, Bobby, to the NBA's top 75 all time, that no one cares about the guys that were locks? Everyone cares about guys who either got on and they don't think should get on, or the guys who missed who they believe should be in.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I think for Clay, you guys were just talking about, like, he hasn't played in 2 years.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think you have to take that into account. I think that, I guess if we're calling it snubs, like, I think people forget how good of a player like Dwight Howard was. Like, I know he's been on, you know, five or six different teams in the past, you know, couple years here, but when he was in Orlando in his prime, I mean, he was as dominant as any center out there. So I think there's always going to, whenever you put a list together, there's never a perfect list, and there's always going to be snubs, and you can talk Kyrie Irving if you want, or Tony Parker or Manu, guys like that, certainly. So yeah, I mean, I get it, but I think Clay, just based on him not being on the court for 2 years and still not being able to play, I would have a hard time voting him in based on, I guess, eight years of body of work.
Yeah, I mean, again, I almost find it comical, because if you're going to put him in, then you have to take away someone's achievement. You know, like, if Clay's going in,
yeah,
what are you, 75 guys?
It's the same as when we hear the All-Star game, you know, guys announced, since everyone goes crazy. And I always say, like, that's fine, but tell me who's out.
Right.
Like, you want to do that, then just say it. You know, say who you want out. I think that would make it even better.
That would be way better. Because exactly, it takes two to tango here, man. You're going to put someone in, you got to break someone's heart. You got to pull someone off that list with Bobby Marks of ESPN. So the Raptors, man, it was ugly on Wednesday night, Mark. It was awful. Like, they shot 30% from the field, 20% from three. And this was the concern coming into the season. Can they generate offense now that Kyle's gone, Siakam's still injured, and they're in Boston tonight? I don't know where it's coming from. There's high hopes that OG Anunoby's going to take this massive step. I'm not sure I see it. Fred VanVleet, we all love, but he can't create offense on his own because of the size, you know, alone. So where is it coming from? Because it's got to get better than it was on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think you're going to see a big learning, you know, curve here as far as, you know, from a development standpoint. But I mean, the oldest player that you'll have in your starting lineup is probably, what, 26, 27 years old. And if you're asking OG to be your number two guy, I think you might be waiting for a while on that. It's just going to be a process here. It really is, as far as, you know, especially, you know, when you took Kyle off the team, who was an insurance policy. Now your main guy is, you know, Fred. We'll see how long the Dragic, VanVleet backcourt works as far as those two starting. Do we get to a point where maybe Gary Trent gets back in the starting lineup? And, you know, it's gradual improvement from your rookie. That's going to be the big thing. I think that's probably, you know, as long as he gets better by the end of the year. But this Eastern Conference, guys, I mean, it's a bear. I mean, this is the toughest I've ever seen it here, where you've got so many teams that think can get into the playoffs. I think you probably have 12 or 13 teams, and now you go into Boston, which is not going to be easy tonight. But yeah, there could be some ugly games ahead here, you know, compared to what we've, you know, seen, you know, prior to COVID.
With Bobby Marks of ESPN, well, and it I think is going to put pressure on Pascal Siakam to get back in the lineup here, where by all accounts he looks good, he looks healthy. We've heard that from members within the organization, insiders on the outside of it looking in, and he had a really strange emotional roller coaster of a season last year, where he was kind of the guy, you know, he was sharing it with Kyle, His max deal had kicked in. He got sat out for a game early in the season for conduct detrimental to the team. We know he butted heads with Nick Nurse. Yet, with the dust settling, he's clearly their most talented player, and he's a guy that can create some offense on his own. So how much do you expect out of Siakam, coming off pretty major surgery, pretty major rehab, and he's going to step in, have to play a lot of minutes, and I think the ball's going to go through him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a roller coaster since the Orlando bubble. I mean, I really think since that Boston series, you know, where it was kind of all over the place here, and when, you know, the expectation is, you know, whenever you sign a, you know, max contract, $140 million plus, you're the face of the franchise, you're the number one guy, you're a foundation piece. It will be interesting where their record will be when he comes back because, yeah, they're going to be expecting a lot from him as far as, you know, how does he fit in playing against, you know, with Scotty there. So it will be interesting. And, you know, it might be probably the best thing that maybe he's been out, you know, with his shoulder, get some healthy, get some, you know, back on the court, you know, in a little while here. But, yeah, that's the expectation when you're at that number and you have a young, you know, younger team now that, you know, you're the number one guy.
What do you make of the Ben Simmons situation in Philadelphia and how that's unfolded and where do you see it going?
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's going anywhere. I mean, like I said yesterday, it's like one of these reality shows that, well, bad reality shows that doesn't have an ending here. You know, it's, you know, and I'm sensitive to the whole mental health part of it that he came out, you know, and addressed his teammates. And my question is it a mental health issue of being in Philadelphia or is it not a mental health issue if he was with San Antonio, right? Like, is it like, if it's a big thing as far as non-basketball, then I hope he gets the right help. Hopefully he's recognized it. At least he addressed his teammates today. I don't know where this is going to go, just because, you know, from a trade standpoint, you heard Daryl Morey on their president on the radio yesterday. Basically, he's like, yeah, I could wait. I got 4 years to wait here.
You're not buying like, that, though. How can anyone buy that, right,
I think
Bobby?
That's just posturing. I mean, this can't go out for 4 years.
No.
But he's, you know, he's steadfast as far as he's, I'm not taking back role players here. I know what the value of Ben Simmons here, and I always thought that, you know, his value is probably, you know, 60 cents on the dollar right now. I just never thought there was ever a home run package out there. And I think this, we go into probably mid-December that, you know, Simmons is still going to be on the Sixers, and it's a matter of, will we ever see him on the court for the Sixers? I think that's the difference here. It's hard for me to think that he'll step on the court playing in front of those fans unless he does a press conference and he says, you know what, I screwed up. This is something that I've thought about and, you know, this city embraces him again. Other than that, I just don't see how this marriage works out.
No, Philly's ruthless too, man. Like the Philly flu is, that's the truth. That may be the case here with Ben Simmons. Well, let me ask you an even more difficult question to answer, and maybe an unfair one, quite frankly, but who is more likely to make an impact on their current team this season, Ben Simmons or Kyrie Irving?
I would say Kyrie, just because I think what probably a lot of people in New York are waiting on is there's a mayoral race. You know, there's going to be a new mayor come January 1st here, and we'll see if that new mayor maybe changes the mandates as far as the, you know, vaccination protocols and stuff. And I think that's, if you're Kyrie Irving, that's probably what you're waiting for here. And you've got to wait another, you know, 2+ months here. So I think I would say probably him stepping on the court, having more of an impact, you know, in Brooklyn than Simmons in Philadelphia. I think Kyrie, you know, from a health standpoint is ready to go, but like, you know, we might be waiting forever that, you know, he's not going to be vaccinated.
Right. Well, that's it. And he controls those cards, man. With Ben Simmons, technically he could be traded in the next hour and go play somewhere else or show up and say, I'm ready to go and start playing. Kyrie, if it's about the vaccine, that's out of his hands at that point if he decides to stick to it, because then you're talking the state of New York and where the Nets currently stand. You're right about that. Well, we'll see. It's going to be a fun weekend of basketball. There's a bunch of games going on. We're off and running here. Enjoy it, Bobby. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Bobby Marks of ESPN NBA Insider.